When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
I like having fun. I like to laugh. I like to meet people who can make me laugh. I like having fun. Yes, I like it to laugh. I like having fun to meet people who laugh.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here. It is, as you know, August 19th, 2021. Time is 10 a.m. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more show. It's been a lot of fun. I want to thank my guest, Jay Weingarten, who killed, and Justin Martell. What a wonderful book he's written about the great, tiny, ironically named Tiny Tim.
This guy was big.
Wow. Let's change the energy, Doug, immediately. How do we do that?
Sure thing, T.
What do we do? First of all, I don't got nothing on my mind.
It's just blank.
Come on, dude.
Nothing going on there, Wes. I'm just looking into that camera. Usually I see some kind of logo, something's not clicking. That's okay though. That you understand where my frustrations lie, Doug. Why I can't come in hot, I can't come in with full positive energy when I'm facing it's back. We're good. We're clean. It went away. But maybe it's supposed to go away. Nobody feels comfortable talking to me anymore. Nobody feels safe, to be honest. See?
Come on, dude.
Here's the deal.
Gotta create a
We're
safe
having
space.
Some trouble. We'll be back up any second now. Now
well, first
scurrying,
you did this
hiding under their desks.
First you did this time travel thing where you said the show was over.
I tried to travel in time sometime.
I looked at my watch like 5 times.
Like, I said,
did I blow your mind? I think I'm right. the folks who are on shrooms or doing bong hits, they're just like, huh? How are you today, Doug? You're looking good. First thing you do, you come in, I say, I like it, right?
Thanks, T. You mean my shirt?
Yeah.
I'm going for like a Michael Stipe look. I'm listening to Green.
Green. 1991 kind of era, yeah.
I can't do the collarless.
That's me in the corner.
Oh, yeah, the collarless.
I love the collarless, dude. I hate
choice,
a collar.
It doesn't work for everyone.
It's all...
Some people look
strange. Bugs my neck.
See, I feel weird when there isn't a collar. Then I would just be stressed out. Like, where's the collar the whole time? But
are you guys on your mics? Are they anywhere near their mics?
I'm near my mic.
Okay, I feel.
How's that?
Feel like you're off mic.
Going to get right here.
Day and night.
Good morning, Vic.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Things are good, huh?
A lot of very, very fun. We're back to school. Things are going great.
The good news is. We've got a tremendous show today. It's true. I'm just playing a little gag, a little game. We have not wrapped up the show. The show's just getting started. We've got the great Jay Weingarten's going to do some comedy for us later. We're going to talk to Justin Martell, who's written the book on Tiny Tim, Eternal Troubadour. You've heard me talk about it. I did the audio book. You can listen to it.
Matt, good morning, producer Matt.
Good morning, Tim. Thanks, Nate Bailey. Just gave us $5.
Oh, wow. Maybe we should shake that tin cup a little bit here this morning. Always, if you're watching this live, anybody send us a couple bucks. Tip your drop boys. If you want to request a drop, maybe that's a thing that's, we could fucking do.
We can do that.
Uh-oh, bad news. That was $5 Canadian.
Oh.
Is that more or less? It's less.
Much less.
Much less.
It was like $3.45, something like that.
Probably. I'm challenging somebody. I don't know who it's going to be. Somebody out there watching right now. I want, the challenge is this. Somebody give us $50,000 right now. Go for it. Go for it. Like, I don't care where the money comes from.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Get out of your savings.
There's got to be some kind of tech billionaire watching the show right now, jacking off.
Get rid of one coin.
Sell one of your bitcoins.
Have you seen the Flaming Lips new crypto? Wayne coins?
Wait, for real?
No. What if they did?
I believe everything.
Wayne coins. That's good. Thank you, Doug. Mm-hmm. Wow. So next week is huge. I just want to get through this real quick. Next week, we're doing the office hours live. We're live in person here in LA in the worst named venue in the world, Dynasty Typewriter. God bless him.
I think it's a cool name, but it's hard to remember. It's not hard.
Well,
it's hard to remember.
That's the only thing it's got going for it. Is that it's easy. It's like an earworm. It sticks with you. Mm.
But what's maybe a better for you, named venue? Candlestick Park? Boring. What, they don't have lights there?
Hold on, let me turn you up, Doug, because I feel like I'm just...
My drops are lower, mm-hmm. and my voice is lower.
Doug,
and,
you are just like the Mr. It could be your monitor mix there. But listen, two mega shows live in front of a studio audience. We haven't done this. We did it once years ago, sort of on the fly. Many remember it. This is going to be two shows... They're completely sold out, but we are going to be broadcasting both shows. The early show will be for patrons only, so go to patreon.com/officehourslive to make sure you're a member so you can join us. And the second show will be public. What else do we want to know? There's not much I could say because we've got packed.
Wait till you see the guests.
I had to
fight for some of these guests, just so you know. Tim was trying to put him on the chopping block, but
Concern we have now is that we're overbooked. We have so much show, and it's going to be a spectacular show. Two shows. Two totally different shows. So, will there be similarities? Of course.
Not that many.
So it's going to be a mess too because it's the first time we're doing it. Wes is going to be scrambling. Matt, are you on the verge of a nervous breakdown over this show?
It's not been good.
Mm-hmm. Poor Matt.
No, it's great.
It's a lot of work.
Everyone's been so nice. All the special guests are so cooperative.
And then they're going to flake at the last minute. Scrambling again.
They're so excited.
So join us. That's going to be, this is the big news though. It's going to be Tuesday of next week. That's the news. That's what CNN just reported. CNN says Office Hours Live is on Tuesday. That's on their front page right now.
A dinner time show.
We should eat during the show. People love listening to us eat.
Some wings.
We get a lot of compliments
popcorn.
On that.
Yeah, they like that.
We're going to have lots to talk about when it comes to all the surprises we have in store, but they would not be surprises if we talked about them right now. So I'm going to move the show along. I'd like to reach out to the hotline. Is there anybody on the hotline?
My butt's been wiped.
Yes, we've got...
Rarely go to the hotline.
361.
We're no longer calling it the Hothead Hotline. We're looking for better energy.
Jason.
And less bits. Jason, are you there?
Timothy, Victor, Douglas,
ooh.
Matthew.
Yes, sir.
Formal.
Yes, sir.
What's up? How are you sweethearts doing?
Not good.
He lost me.
Come on, dude, don't die.
We're good.
We're good.
Anything else?
Do you have any questions, comments, or complaints?
Not really. Nothing really that much. Just
where are you calling from?
Say hi, and I miss you, boys. I'm calling from Denver, Colorado.
Mile High. How do you like that?
The great state of Denver, baby.
Right. We love Denver quite a bit, actually.
The air quality is getting better. I don't know if you saw. I mean, I'm sure you guys are living the actual fires, but we get all your smoke.
Okay.
Right. Well, I'm in my bubble. I don't care about anything outside of my immediate zone. My obviously Hollywood news is very important to me. Gossip. What's going on with TikTok? But when it comes to other states, other people's problems, I can't get involved.
Yeah.
You know how
it is. Are you chatting with Rene Fabregue a lot, or?
No, he's banned from the show, actually. We just made that decision amongst, we had a team meeting. Not everybody was on board with that, but he is banned from the show.
Oh, my God. Why? Why?
For inappropriate stuff, stuff that happened off the air. Let me just say that. Some inappropriate behavior.
Oh.
It wasn't that segment he did, Tim? I
mean, no. It was stuff he did off the air.
Uh-huh.
Okay? But I can't believe
they let him on not even a show. Like, they let him on there now.
That was great.
That's a, yeah.
Well, I'll break character now to say that if you're not watching Not Even a Show, that is my favorite show right now. I've spoken about that publicly. And they did they do this great thing where they get these people on thinking that it's a real show. And Sal and Richard from the Howard Stern Show used to do this too. It's so devious, but they convince these people to go on these shows that aren't real shows. And it's just like a time-wasting activity for them. And they had Roger Stone on. And they're just, did you see that one with Brendan?
I did, yeah.
And Brendan is, the whole time Brendan's just having trouble with his Zoom. And he's like, I'm going to go on mute. And then he's like talking and he's not on mute. And it's like Roger Stone's just sitting there gritting, doing that thing with his jaw. What is that thing with his jaw?
That's a
drug addiction?
I'm not going to say, but many people are saying.
I'm asking.
Many people are saying that's what it is.
Okay.
Same thing with Alex Jones and Don Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
kind of that clenching.
Wait, they're saying it's amphetamines. I heard it was amphetamines. Is that what you said?
That's what people are saying. That's what many people are saying. I'm not saying that.
I'm not judging.
Just saying what people are saying.
Yeah, true. Yeah, we probably should say allegedly amphetamines with that creep.
I should also add, by the way, that September 9th is our second annual Office Hours Fan Choice Awards, which is not what I call it. I call it the Offies, ladies and gentlemen.
Fan Choice Awards? It's never been called that.
That's always been the full name.
The FCAs?
FCAs.
The Offies.
So follow us on social media to take part in the nomination process after the show today. There was some controversy about this, Matt, because this is your ball of wax. You said that you can't be nominated if you have won before. That's controversial.
Well,
wow.
I'd like to tell that to, as Phil Braun said on Twitter, I'd like to tell that to Al Pacino or Robert De Niro that
right.
Just because they've won, they can't be awarded. That doesn't seem fair.
It was a little, it's too complicated to explain in a social post. What I mean to say is like Tim from Michigan can't be nominated. Because that was from the previous season.
Well, there can be a time window of which this occurred.
It's the last year.
Fair enough.
Maybe I should have clarified.
Very confusing, and people are very upset.
People are also confused by Sideshow.
Sideshow?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Because it means something. Sideshow we mean it like to mean like a
circus
side
fair
project
kind of thing.
Well, we can almost just do the automatic nominations for that because there's only five of them. You know, Joel Hole.
Right.
Pound the compound. I like, by the way, it just occurred to me. Do you know it just occurred to me?
What?
The compound.
Yeah, pound house, pound cats. Hours.
Did that occur to you?
Just occurred to you?
No, be honest.
That was a no pun intended situation.
Yeah.
Like, at first I thought you were living at the compound. That should be the title.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then it kind of fits in
there. There it goes.
But
in the universe.
I'm just asking you if it occurred to you or not.
It did occur to me.
Thank you.
It took me a few weeks for it to occur to me.
I got so much stuff going on. So many ideas. I can't focus in on all that granular stuff.
The pounding.
It's going to come to me when it comes to me. Anything else, Denver?
I have so many great
ideas.
Do
you guys have a category for...
this guy's a fan.
He likes the drops.
He's a pain in the ass.
Shout out a drop. We'll do some drops here. Go ahead. Request some drops.
Let's see. Let's.
Someone in the chat gave us a bunch of money to do Casey drops.
Yeah.
No. Well, you know what's funny? Doug and I just talked about that the other day. We're like, well, we haven't done those in a long time. But... Not right, Doug.
Can we count to 10?
That's correct.
That sucks.
Can we count to 10?
Oh, yeah, Tyler Silva. Tyler Silva said, can we please get Casey Kasem on the line?
So, wait, would you like Casey to count to 10? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I would. Well, I want to count at, like, with Casey to 10.
What the?
That wasn't Casey.
What?
Casey, are you with us?
Two, three. Wait, yeah. Sure. Ready?
Wait, I want to. I'm talking to Casey Kasem now. My guest is longtime radio DJ, voice of Shaggy from the Scooby-Doo, many voices, well-known legend, passed away many years ago. His body was, there was a dispute over his remains amongst family. But he's joined us from
the
netherworld.
Did they bury him in the great sea or something?
From hell is the great Casey Kasem. Casey, how are you doing today?
Hi, it's me, Casey.
Now, let me ask you a question. We've got a question. We've got a request from the audience here. Would you do us a favor and count to 10 for us?
I'm ready.
Okay. Take it away, Casey.
Now, on with the countdown.
No, the countdown.
Four.
No, no, no. We just want you to count to 10 from like 1 to 10.
Okay, good. 1. 10.
No.
No, no,
no, no, Casey. Like 1, 2, 3. You know what I mean.
This may seem to be a strange request.
Sure.
1, 2, 3.
You good. Got it.
You got all that?
I need to get a 10, though. That's the thing.
10.
No. No, no. Count from 1 to 10. It's pretty simple.
Want another one?
Yeah. No, not just do 6. It. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
One.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
10.
You motherfucker, get him out! Fuck you,
God
Casey.
God damn it,
go
dude.
To hell. All right. Fuck, go back to hell, I should say.
Well, you know, they do
all right, let's go. We got some hands raised in the Zoom.
For, but God damn it, if thank I you, don't Jason. Understand
okay,
it.
I love you all. Bye,
I love
everyone.
You, Jason. I love
I
Denver.
Want
I love the Nuggets.
Somebody use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
Clay is very hot to trot here. Clay Inferno. What is it that you
I
want?
Think this is an alias. I think we've talked to this guy.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, guys.
Damn.
I just wanted to see if you're doing some rehearsal for Desert Days and how that's going.
I mean, for me as a major procrastinator, something that's happening in November feels like it might as well be happening in 2093. I have been sweating about it and having nightmares about it. And we'll like, you know, week of get everybody together. And, you know, we know it's not like we know the songs. We know what they are. So we'll do it. We'll pull it together.
Do you have trouble remembering lyrics?
Yes. I can't remember lyrics or chords or anything.
Do it. Like I saw Elvis Costello. He had a lap or a iPad.
But then
the
problem with that is you have to then commit to that.
The iPad? Just like not care?
Then it's just like you can't go. You can't be looking for it back and forth.
Yeah.
Why don't you have a cue card guy?
Yeah, you could guy like Billy Joel and Elton. They have a guy like that. Well, I mean, it's digital. It's like a teleprompter.
I think what's unfortunate is like when I do those Tim and Eric tours, there's actually a lot of memorizing because there's songs and there's things that just happen every night the same way. And you rehearse for 2 weeks, and at first you're just like totally lost. You guys have seen the process. You're like making it up. You're figuring it out. You're looking at lyrics. You're not off book, as they say. And then it clicks in, and then you do it every night, and it just becomes like fully automatic muscle memory.
You just phone it in every night.
Turn it off and tune it in.
Could be an empty room.
Tune it in and turn it off.
Doesn't matter.
Well, but the point is, I don't have that opportunity with this thing here. I've got to hit the ground running. And I get nervous, and then my brain locks up, and I'm just not meant for this world, for this rock and roll world.
Well, I think we're going to
you know
take
what?
The
no
trip
one cares. We'll keep my mic low, and I'll just sing gobbledygook stuff.
Just do a lip sync kind of thing,
right, or get a guy like Brian Wilson has a guy that sings all his lines.
Mm-hmm.
You just get somebody like that.
Tim, I'll run your CD. Promise it won't skip.
I do like the idea of just a. I'm just fully
it's
like
a CD.
It's such an
yeah, it's an actual CD.
We must like have a CD.
It's an obvious lip syncing situation. Like the people in the we're just fully playing to a full finished track.
Like your guitar's not plugged in.
Yeah,
and you're ripping solos and stuff.
Yeah, people are like, huh? This is kind of this is disappointing. This is not what I paid for. But thanks for asking. Are you going to be there, or you're just?
Well, I usually go to like New York Comic Con for my birthday and like my sober anniversary in October. But now I think I'm going to go take a trip out there just to see y'all play on Friday and come back home. I'm in Boston. So okay. I'm thinking about treating myself.
Wow, traveling. Yeah.
Did you say sober birthday or silver birthday?
I thought it was
sober birthday.
Okay.
Oh, happy birthday.
Good for you. Do you also?
How many birthdays? How many? One?
No, that'll be 15.
Wow.
Whoa.
So do you also celebrate your real birthday and make everyone's life hell with that too?
I celebrate by myself. My girlfriend and I usually go to New York Comic Con and just hang out down there.
Cool.
But I feel like I'm just going to go and I'm going to camp and vibe out.
What do you think of like? Why do you go to the Comic Con? What's your interest there? Like, is it comics or the cartoons or what? Superman?
It's all those. I have a podcast that does. We talk about comic books and. It usually falls around the time of my birthday in October.
Got it.
So that's usually where we go.
Do you like the explosion of all this into the mass media? Do you like all the Marvel shows and all that stuff? You watch them all?
I do. I kind of watch them all, and I like Batman's probably my favorite superhero.
Of course,
really same. Batman. You know why? Because he doesn't have any. He doesn't. Well, Adam West, of course, but like Batman, the comic book hero. He doesn't have any special like freak like skills. He's just a normal dude.
No, he's not a rich, normal. He's a rich Elon Musk
guy. But he can't fly like Superman. He can't like walk through walls or anything. He's just it's his own fists and Robin. You know, that's it.
I'm with you, Vic.
There you go.
Batman. Then I go Superman. Everybody else can go fuck themselves. Fuck them. You only need two superheroes. Yeah. Okay, Jack.
What do you think? Do you like the Fleischer Superman? Do you ever see those? Those are amazing. Yeah. Those cartoons.
I love those. Yeah. And I like how the Batman animated series kind of took its look from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, stop. If we keep talking about this, we're going to become very popular.
Hey,
it's going to become a popular show.
I know.
Hey, yeah. I took Heidecker's podcast. It's cool. He's talking about comic books and stuff. And superheroes.
Well, I look forward to seeing your show, man. I'm really digging the record, and I'm like. Gotta go see it with the full band.
Thanks, Clay. Appreciate that. Let me pay for your airfare and your lodging, okay? I'll talk to you off the
air. Okay. All right.
Obviously, I won't.
Oh, I was like, wow, that's very nice.
Let him stay here.
Yeah.
Guys, you want a city of the day or you want to talk to Justin?
City of the day, please. Let's become professionals here. City of the Day is brought to you by. That sounds kind of like. Speaking of cartoons, sounds a little bit like Fred Flintstone. Wilma! Hey! No, I had it for a second. Brought to you by. Hagar's.
Hi there.
There it is. Is that him?
That was Fred, yeah.
Wow.
Hey there!
You sound like Rush a little bit.
Hi there!
Try it again.
Hi there.
Hey there.
Long distance call from Bedrock.
Fred Flintstone. That took place back in when the men and dinosaurs were both living on the planet at the same time, 6,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Hagar's, attention cigar smokers. Don't you wish your stogies didn't take forever to smoke? You light the damn thing, then in 30 minutes you put it in the ashtray, and it's not even halfway smoked. You gotta finish it later. It's gross. That's why Sammy Hagar invented Hagar's Hagar's. Hagar's Hagar's are made from real organic extra dry hay, so they burn fast. No more wasting time at the ashtray. Hagar's also burn hot. How do you think Sammy got his rock and roll rasp? He's been smoking these babies for decades. And trust me, they'll do a number on your vocal cords. Hay is for horses, but sorry, horses, because hay is now for horseness. What? Horse, my throat's hoarse. Horseness. Plus, our Hagars have zero nicotine, so you can be addicted to rock and roll and not chemicals. Hey, you know what else is cool? Each Hagar is lovingly hand-rolled by Sammy himself in the back of Cabo Wabo. These Hagar... Seems unlikely. These Hagars burn so fast and hot, you can smoke 55 of them. That's why right now, office
right
hours...
Right now!
That's why right now, office hours listeners can get 100 free Hagars. 100 free Hagars? When you order your first 500 Hagars by going to hagars.mx. and use the code word no tomorrow. No tomorrow. Please allow 6 to 18 weeks for delivery.
Wow.
Hagars. So you're just smoking hay. You're smoking a dry grass.
Extra dry hay, yeah.
Great. City of the day is Cheltenham Township, Pennsylvania. Out there in PA. How's the weather out there in PA, Doug?
It's got to be in the 70s. This right now. Well, wait, 10, 11, it's probably like
10:30.
No, we're talking 84.
Yeah.
You did not.
Is that
not?
I did not peak, I swear. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it is.
Whoa.
And Vic, you love this number. Low of?
I'm usually the low of guy.
I'm going to go with 69.
Hey, yeah. It's that kind of morning, folks.
It's 69?
Yeah. I was doing a little 69 this morning.
You peaked.
Doing a little 69 this morning.
Well, he said it was my favorite number. So.
Went to my local sex club.
What's it called? Do you want me to do
Desire.
The penis thing? Desire.
I'm a paying member, and it's just a great time.
Sex.
It's like going to the gym, you know, but you just fuck.
Do you need a vax card, or do you just bring in your Tiny
all,
Tim?
We're all vaxxed.
You bring in your Tiny Tim membership. And that's good enough.
Yeah. It's all legal. It's all consenting.
We thought we had.
I recommend Desire in Glendale. Look it up. It's nice. They have a storefront that's like a sex shop. You buy dildos and condoms and stuff and DVDs.
How do you get in the back then?
You got to be a member. You show your card and
is that New Jeopardy host in there?
New Jeopardy. Well, let's talk about that later.
What's that guy's name?
I woke up just to a flurry of shit and. This is the world is shit, everybody. There's a couple of bright spots. One of them is this show, Office Hours, so continue to support us and tell your friends. But let's talk about a pure soul, one of the good guys of rock and roll, Tiny Tim with Justin Martell.
I always use the pens.
Okay. Justin, are you there?
Tim. Thanks for having me on.
Good to see you in the flesh, in person.
Nice to see you too.
I've talked to you on the phone.
Yes, indeed.
And where are you? Is that a Zoom background, or are you truly up at the top of the world up there in New York?
Oh yeah, this is the the high rise headquarters of the Tiny Tim Fan Club. we've got a high rise office in Manhattan.
Fantastic! Congratulations to you guys. That's a lot of books being sold.
Yeah. Tiny Tim's having the big comeback thanks to you and I guess our new project.
Our new project. let's figure out where to begin. Were you the president of the Tiny Tim fan club before you wrote the book, or during, or after?
Good question. And I guess the Tiny Tim fan club has sort of a sordid history because actually Bucks Burnett in Dallas, Texas was actually it's still the president emeritus of the Tiny Tim Fan Club and was the president of the Tiny Tim Fan Club, then president of the Tiny Tim Fan Club in exile, and then president again. And this was all while Tiny was still alive.
Wow.
I guess right now the Tiny Tim Fan Club sort of more exists in theory. We're in the process of relaunching it right now. And so actually, if anybody wants to be a member, they can go to tinytimfanclub.com. And we've just got like a subscribe option right now, but we will be doing a full launch with all kinds of fun Tiny Tim merch and memorabilia and ephemera. Okay. Timmerabilia, as it were.
Is it, what's the membership fees? What's the, what are the dues?
We haven't gotten to that yet, but
you sign up and then you find out.
Yeah, exactly. I promise it'll be affordable.
Well, I have mine right here. This card certifies that Tim Heidecker enjoys a lifetime membership in the Tiny Tim fan club. So, I'm excited.
I think our secretary Jackson Scoggins sent those out to you guys. So I think this would make you guys sort of the first card carrying members of the sort of revamped Tiny Tim fan club.
That'd be cool if these were numbered so that it could reflect that somehow. Some like, you know,
Jackson.
All right. So my knowledge and experience and familiarity with Tiny Tim was very surface level when I began the project of reading the book, reading this, doing the audio book for this. And we've talked about this privately. I found the process very challenging, and you don't have to keep saying I'm sorry or thank you. It's just the honest truth that I found that that doing an audiobook is very hard. I mean, there's harder things in the world. There's coal miners out there. Let's face it, folks, that work very long. There's people in the military. You know, this isn't the hardest thing in the world, but for me, it was challenging. I'm not a great reader. It's time intensive. But the other thing that was challenging was learning about Tiny. Because the guy is a hard, complicated guy to like. I mean, he's very difficult. He was a very difficult person, very strange. What would you call his like peculiarities? His
idiosyncrasies.
Idiosyncrasies.
Mm. Yeah, eccentricities, idiosyncrasies.
And it was a little bit of a sad story because he's a guy, I mean, it's a great story and the book is very good and I do highly recommend it, either reading it or listening to my dumb voice read it. But I'm going to put you on the spot. We're going to do Tiny Tim pros and cons. So
okay.
Start with a pro because then we start positive.
Right. So, I mean, for me and the reason why I decided to write the book in the first place was because, you know, I always thought that Tiny Tim was a trailblazing performer of the last century. And, you know, not only, I guess, an underappreciated music historian. So he was a historian of turn of the century music from the Cylinder era, from the Vaudeville era. And in an age before the internet, he kept a lot of those songs alive, you know, in a period of time where you could not easily go and look up, you know, obscure Billy Murray and Irving Kaufman and Henry Burr songs, you know, on YouTube and things like that. And that's where sort of the name Eternal Troubadour comes from. As a performance artist, I also think he doesn't get enough credit.
You might want to save that for your next, when I ask you for the next
okay. All right,
pro.
Sure.
Because now I want to ask you.
Okay, so that would be pro number one, I would say.
Pro number one. Let's go to
underappreciated musicologist.
Okay, con number one.
Why don't you tell me?
Well, this was a different era. There was the sexuality was thought of a bit differently than it is today. It's hard to kind of take him out of context, but he did seem to have this, unhealthy obsession with younger women, girls, underage often, and got himself into very, like, I would say abusive relationships, or at least his wife, who he married on The Tonight Show, that seemed like, you know, a guy who was, I mean, again, there's a little bit of context with the time. And there's also a little bit of context that he seemed to be mentally, I don't know what the correct terminology. He had some, probably, you could diagnose him with some actual mental illness. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, he was born, what was that?
That was Doug installing some VR.
My computer crashed. What do you
Oh, that's
do?
Why it's been so peaceful in here. No.
No, I would say he was born in a period of time where they didn't diagnose, I guess what would be considered, you know, when you would say on the spectrum. So things like Asperger's and like that. And so those people, despite, you know, the challenges that they would have faced, you know, sort of in normal society, were expected to do just that, go out and have a normal job and assimilate into society as if there wasn't, you know, anything off. And I think that that was very much sort of the story there, that there was a lot of pressure from his parents to grow up, be a man, get a job. And what did he do in response? He became a Tiny Tim.
Right.
you know, and at and eventually, you know, when he was in his mid 30s, it worked. And for a second, because of that, he became the most famous person on, arguably the most famous person on the planet for a scratch.
I wish my drops could get that loud.
This is great. I need this all the time.
Yeah. I thought that was the sound of Doug's computer restarting.
It's my Dell.
Yeah. I wanted to ask why, because you mentioned like he likes all these like cylinder like era things. Like, how did he know them? Because this is the 60s. I would assume like he didn't have all these cylinders like sitting around, you know, like you can't just like really buy them. Or in the 50s, I guess it would be. Like where? Yeah, how did he come about?
What's a cylinder
it?
Man? The coffee cans? No, or what?
They're like the. Do you know?
What I know. What you're
oh, okay, okay. Sorry.
Just I never was, heard it called the cylinder era.
Right.
That's
well, it was before they had vinyl. Before they had the discs.
Yeah, I know.
They had
before 78.
Maybe the audience doesn't know. Yeah, tin right. cylinder that. Yeah. That was the original design from Edison or whoever.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that so. It came, he was born in 1932 in New York City during the Depression to. Low-income immigrant parents. And I think they probably not having money to buy new records. I think the story is that the dad came home with like a wind-up phonograph and some Henry Burr 78s. And I think the first record Tiny had was like a 1905 recording of Henry Burr singing Beautiful Ohio. And the way he described it was just that when he heard it, he had sort of this rapport with the past. And from there became obsessive and developed that encyclopedic knowledge of that era of music, which is interesting because it would actually even sort of would be his parents' era of music or even predate his parents in some respects.
Imagine having a cylinder collection instead of
And
you'd
I think
have to have a bigger house
to I think with the cylinders, as you asked, I think he actually the New York Public Library, I don't know if they still have it, but they at that time had an archive of cylinders, and I think actually that's where he would have heard the majority of those recordings.
I think it's an interesting look at a period of time that this sort of perfect storm where the number of media outlets were so small, something like the Johnny Carson show was watched by so many people that you could have somebody like him, something so eccentric and so strange and sort of on the fringe, hit in a certain way that so many people watched that he became incredibly famous and successful for a short period of time. But a lot of that success and fame was kind of this uncomfortable dance with the fact that he was seen as kind of a freak. He was kind of seen as a novelty act or a joke, or the joke was on.
Yeah, was he the butt of the joke on like Carson when he was on there?
I think you would say, short answer, yes. I think Carson probably appreciated what he was doing to some degree, would you say?
Yeah, I think that Carson definitely got it, yeah. But was also happy for Tiny to play the clown, you know? And obviously, Carson knew that would play to his audience when he would ask Tiny questions about girls or if he was married and things like that, and Tiny would just giggle and...
And Tiny was self-aware of it, too.
The audience ate that up.
Tiny knew the part he was playing in that relationship, too.
Yes, 100%. That was always sort of the problem with it, because he wanted to be sort of taken seriously as a singer, but then would always sort of play to the least common denominator when he would end up in these situations on Laugh-In or Ed Sullivan and things like that, just because he knew he could get a reaction.
Right. Yeah.
And even later on, like going on Howard Stern and talking about being impotent and always wearing Depends. I know you guys have sort of revived a lot of the sound bites there, which is great, because certainly Howard Stern doesn't play them anymore. So we have them on Office Hours. Which
is that a dig?
It's a little bit of a dig. Yeah.
Well, yes, they've sanitized their operations quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
As much like Tiny Tim likes to keep saying, he was a very clean person. That's the other thing about him is he was incredibly clean. You couldn't, the dude wouldn't go to the bathroom if it was a public bathroom, correct? He had to do his business in his own home, which I appreciate. I wish my guys would
But he would use,
working on that.
He would take a dump in his panties, right? In his pants, right? No. And that is the thing. That's why he's wearing the Depends, isn't it?
No.
No, I think the Depends actually were meant to be like disposable underwear. He had theory. Yeah, he had this theory that you couldn't wash germs out of towels, like hotel room towels, or your underwear. So that's why he would always use a roll of paper towels instead of like a bath towel and Depends as like disposable underwear.
And then he would also apply skin cream. He would be obsessed with a women's skin cream, like Oil of Olay or whatever. What was his brand?
Oil of Olay and all that stuff. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you look at it and it's like kind of these like mild autistic obsessions of somebody who grew up again during the Depression era. So like, you know, you had, you know, he became obsessed with advertisements and game shows where like, you know, the prizes were like lifetime supplies of household items and things like that. And so he had an obsession with consumer products and experimenting with different makeup brands and all that kind of stuff.
Here's another con.
Yeah.
I mean, and this kind of made him truly counterculture in a way. He was like counterculture almost like to the third degree, because, or like a double switch situation, because he was extremely conservative politically. He was like, and he remained that way. Like during the 60s when he, you know, the Beatles are going to see him at Royal Albert Hall and everybody's
Break
fetting him.
Bring my food to the other side, light my fire.
And he's like, I'm for the Vietnam War. I support the bombing of Cambodia.
Pro war.
Like not that bad, but he was like pro Nixon. He was for fucking Randy Newman. He was for Reagan. He had said all this shit about AIDS, like
in Eric Clapton in a way.
Yeah, he's almost like he's like a proto Eric Clapton type. But
and even coming up in the Greenwich Village scene with, you know, Bob Dylan and Peter, Paul and Mary and folk singers and stuff. But he had those views. I think that a lot of that was just sort of to be the opposite of the parents, because the parents were Marxists.
Right.
By all accounts, they had actually never gotten married. So if you look at everything that Tiny Tim says and does, you know, the mother is Jewish, father's Catholic. Tiny Tim has this sort of self-styled Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
He's against doing anything before marriage. Marriage is only for children. He's right-wing conservative. But even those views could like change, you know, depending on the situation.
He would be malleable if it meant work or not work, right? Like work always was the thing that trumped everything.
He's a skid marker.
And I know, for instance, he voted for Kennedy and Carter and stuff like that. So he would kind of, you know,
he was trying, like, his whole thing was kind of evocative of that sort of like turn of the century, you know, the Disney vision of what America used to be like and this clean Main Street, you know. Right.
Exactly. And like that. So, and like having grown up, like watching like parades of returning World War II vets and stuff like that. So that's why he comes out with sort of that fiery rhetoric about Vietnam and supporting Nixon. But did he really, was he pro-war in his heart of hearts? I don't really think so.
Did he have friends? Were there people that like would be seen with him in public? Would he talk to anybody? Would he, you know, hang out with anybody? Or was it just like him and his Depends, you know?
I think it was basically more like whoever he was working with at the time. By all accounts, yeah, it was kind of difficult to...
Does he get obsessive?
Yeah, he probably had people he considered his friends, but by all accounts, it was hard to like connect with him on like a deeply personal level.
Who was that guy that was like weirder than him? That was like, I want a PP.
Yeah.
Who was that guy?
What?
Who was that guy?
Micro Michael.
I don't know. He said he wanted a PP, but.
No, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know. So Isidore Fertel.
Mitch Miller.
Isidore Fertel.
No, seriously, your listeners should look up. Check out Isidore Fertel. He was known as Tiny Tim's Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
And he was, Tiny Tim's opening act in like the 70s and 80s. PP. And so, And so, but Tiny produced Isidore Fertel's one and only single.
By the way, you know what's fucked up? I'm on Apple Music trying to look up Tiny Tim, and there's another artist now named Tiny Tim. Like, fuck off.
Is it a rapper? And
what does he do?
I don't know.
It's an R&B artist?
He's got some bullshit out. Like, and I'm trying to, like, dig through it, and that's fucked up. Oh, well, I mean, you can find the real Tiny Tim, I guess, if you go to... I certainly recommend the book. I'll say this. I think God Bless Tiny Tim is a masterpiece of a record. I love that record.
Absolutely.
Crazy.
I mean, if I could just take this mic over. The reason, first and foremost, for writing the book is, you know, obviously all of those like idiosyncrasies and stuff with Tiny Tim, like the Depends and all that stuff is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, first and foremost, Tiny Tim was a trailblazing performance artist who doesn't get enough credit. If you look at popular music and pop culture before Tiny Tim, and then you look at it after, and sort of the mark that he left that he didn't get credit for. And then again, as a musicologist, and you know, as you said, listen to God Bless Tiny Tim, listen to Tiny Tim's second album, all those albums on Warner Brothers, they're great.
Mm-hmm.
And were revered and well reviewed by the rock intelligentsia of the time.
Well, he had some big time supporters in the beginning though. That what's his name? The producer who did Ringo's albums and stuff.
Richard Perry.
Wow. That's heavy. That's a heavy hitter.
And the Stones and the Beatles were all in the audience for that. Royal Albert
Hall. What's the name of that guy? Edward Ferd. What record is that on? That I was complaining about it.
We did it. So we did a Tiny Tim Isidore Fertel split 7-inch called I think War Between the Sexes.
All right.
And it had some of Tiny's more I don't know, lurid and perverse and misogynistic tracks. And then we had the flip side where Isidore Fertel's pro women's lib.
Okay. This is, and you have, song. So you have a defense of this song from Isidore Fertel, and I'll play the song and then you can defend it. But the song is called I Made a Wee Wee in My Panties.
so that's a Tiny Tim song.
Oh, this is a Tiny Tim song. Man. So here it is.
That's Tiny Tim.
In my panties, in my panties. I made wee wee in my panties, and I don't know what to do.
Okay, what is the deal with that? What? This was an old-timey women's lib song, or what?
No. So Tiny wrote. He says at the beginning of that tape, he says, I wrote this words and music by myself. If you can imagine, someone wrote it all by themselves.
He didn't have an arranger. Richard Perry wasn't involved in fleshing that out.
If you imagine that, Richard Perry was not involved in that one. We found that on a tape, like a private tape that he had made for his third wife, Miss Sue. And the whole tape is kind of this weird meandering drunk monologue where he's talking about he doesn't want to stop drinking, she wants him to stop drinking, and it kind of seems like he's in like a diabetic episode or something. He sounds really out of it, and then he starts singing these weird songs. Like, we didn't even put it on that release, but there's another one called I Can't Get My Dick Up Anymore. And I Made Wee Wee in My Panties and this other stuff. It's really out there. So then we took those tracks and released it as a split 7-inch with Isidore Fertel a couple years ago.
Yeah. Well,
do you worry that like you're going to,
well,
you know,
good use of resources there.
You're raising awareness of Tiny Tim, but do you think if too many people find out, he's going to get canceled? You know, there's like, no,
because you know what? I think that, and Tim and I talked about Tim Heidecker, that is, and I talked about this. It's, if you're going to look at Tiny Tim, I mean, people can read the book and, you know, judge for themselves. I think that even with some of his exploits, he was still pretty tame as far as rock stars are concerned. Yeah. So if you're going to go after Tiny Tim, I don't know. We got to be looking at a lot of other people, you know, if we're going to go down that
like
route.
Like Dylan,
like Jim Morrison, you know, John.
Like, I mean, all of them, frankly.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
Dylan.
Exactly.
Yes, I know people were going to ask me the Dylan. Did you? What was your two cents on the Dylan story this week?
The Dylan story this week, in terms of what? I read a story about the new bootleg series in Mojo that we're talking about.
That's exciting. Springtime in New York.
He didn't catch
Springtime New York. I'm pumped. I've been waiting for the 80s Dylan bootleg series for a long time.
No, there's some lawsuit that Dylan is, this woman's come out and claimed that he drugged and raped her and, you know, held her prisoner.
I'm like Dylan.
In the Chelsea Hotel in 1965. Not funny, Doug. No.
It gets it wrong whenever I do the, you know, the bad one.
I have no comment except to say there'll be more coming out on that from what I've looked at. There'll be more information on that. I mean, I just read this big Dylan biography. It's almost as big as your book about Tiny Tim, but it goes from like from the 40s to 1966. It's kind of
Behind the Shades by Clinton Halen.
It's his new one. It's the same author, but it's called The Double Life of Bob Dylan. And it's kind of an updated. He had access to that Tulsa archive where all his papers are and everything. And you know, his life, especially at that time, is so well documented. It's so every day seems to be, you know, in some way accounted for. He's half that time that this lawsuit mentions, or more than half, is like he's literally being filmed in London for his tour of London, which is filmed for Don't Look Back, the film. And, you know, and then the lawyer who's behind this lawsuit seems like a quack. If you look into him, he's like one of these guys that brings all sorts of frivolous lawsuits up. But the way the headlines are, it's sort of like the damage is done, whether it happened or not. It's just like people are just going to see that. They're not going to. But, you know, there could be some there. I'm not making a judgment one way or the other. I still love everything. You know, I still love the
guy. Can I get my 2 cents?
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to these allegations about things that happened in the 60s, don't look back.
Nice.
I don't stand by that. I think you could. I think you should and could.
Said that on the stand.
Just walk out.
Is that a song of his or something, or just a movie?
It's
title.
A movie.
I got a
movie title.
I got a statement for you. Don't look back. You know, you're not gonna like what you see.
Exactly.
You're not gonna like.
You're
what
not gonna like. So don't look.
I mean, there's no question. All these guys. If you want to talk about Steven Tyler, Jimmy Page, Robert Plant,
the legendary Eagles.
I mean, there were Ted Nugent. There was all kinds of girls. Inappropriate stuff going on that if you want to open that book, let's do it. But
yeah, exactly.
You know.
And that's why I said, you know, if we're going to look at Tiny Tim, I think he's still pretty tame comparatively, even with the Depends and,
well, what was fascinating
and
was
young brides and all those things.
What was fascinating was how many women fell in love with him, even in his darkest, like kind of lowest career points where he's like living in a hotel in Ohio. Was it Ohio he was living in?
Oh, Iowa.
Iowa. Yeah. In Iowa. Yeah. No offense to Iowa, but he's living in Iowa in a hotel doing this like night supper club. And this woman is like, I fell in love. I'm obsessed with Tiny Tim. And, you know, Tiny Tim's old and he's wearing diapers and he's putting skin cream all over him.
Which wife was that?
He's drinking beer.
That's number three. Eating,
oh, that was Miss Sue?
And canned food.
And he'd refer to her like.
And why is she
miss
if they're married?
Well, they're all everybody was, no matter who it was.
Uh-huh. Justin.
Yeah,
it's that old Southern gentleman thing, you know. And you're talking about all these women who were like obsessed with him. It's the first wife, Miss Vicky, was a reaction to the fact because he was totally like devout Christian and stuff, and he had all of these girls hanging all over him when he got, you know, really famous in 1968. And so his diaries are filled, as you read, Tim, in the new audiobook.
Yeah.
His diaries are filled with these accounts of like encounters in his hotel with these young girls and stuff. So he was trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
And that's why he rushed into that marriage that became the Tonight Show marriage, because he was trying to save himself from sin, as it were.
I want to read something from John Galantini, who just put something in the quote from a few minutes ago, who I guess is listening to the audiobook. He says, I lost count of the amount of times I heard Tim read the line, causing him to ejaculate in his pants, and I'm only up to chapter 11. It's true. It's one of the funny things, and like, I'd love to do a character like this. He's just like constantly coming, like he's like, like he gets near a woman, he's like full ejac,
multiple orgasms,
and like everyone knew the manager was like, we got to change Tiny over here. He's
had a little incident.
Maybe that's what the Depends are for.
Yeah,
pretty wild.
Yeah, there's that great account of the backup singer tickling his hand, and then Roy Raiden yelling at her because he had to get his pants dry for the bathroom.
All right, Justin. Well, listen.
I mean, I don't know how many times I read about it in those diaries. I think the way he would describe it is he would say "got wet," which was very odd. was his way of describing the ejaculations.
It's not fun to talk about. It's not fun to read into a microphone.
What's the next freak you're going to write about? Like, who's are you going to write another book?
Call him a freak.
It's a freak. I mean that lovingly.
I have to move. We'll find that answer out next time, or Justin, if you want to tell our audience offline. I have to move the show along. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Tim.
Really glad I got to be a part of the project, and I'm glad we got to talk about it today. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome to the show. We're going to have some comedy, finally. It's been a very comedy-free show, in my opinion. We're going to have lots to... we've got a great special guest. We're going to have some comedy. After the comedy, we're going to have a break, and we'll be back with more show after the break. But right now, I'd like to please welcome back to Office Hours Live, the one and only Jay Wingerton!
Hello! Hey, it's really great to be here on Office Hours. You know, I appreciate you, Tim, Doug, Vic, Matt, for having me and letting me perform on today's show, because to be honest, I'll be quite frank, I'm kind of fucking weird. Like, something about me is not right in the head, all right? I mean, this shouldn't come as a surprise, but okay, I'm so weird. On the way over here, I walk right into a Walgreens drugstore, you know, just a typical Walgreens, nothing huge or anything. And I walk right in, I act like everything's normal. I walk into customer service, I go, "Oh, hello, sorry to bother you really quick. Hello, do you sell walls? Do you sell any walls here? I mean, your name is Walgreens." Like, I say this to the employee with a straight face. But yeah, like I said, me and my buddies and I are insane. Okay, the other day we pick up some helium, right? And we start singing like we're Alvin and the fucking Chipmunks, you know, right there. And the whole community sees it in Town Square. Like, who does that? Like, okay, I'm the kind of dude, yes, thank you. I'm the kind of dude, like, who am I? I'm the kind of guy who puts glue on his shoes just to walk up walls, right? Like, no questions asked. Like, I mean, yesterday, I dress up like a fucking mailman, and the twist is, I don't let the dogs chase me. I chase the dogs just to mess with my neighbors' heads. I don't know. These are the kind of social experiments I've been getting into. Like, you know, we're adults now. We do what we want. Like, I don't know. Back when I was a kid, shit wasn't so easy. I don't know. I feel like I was just a kid yesterday. Do you remember your childhood, Tim?
Very well.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, I can barely remember it. You know, it just kind of flies on by. You know? Fly like an eagle. USA. Fly like an eagle. To Jubilee. Ow! But what else? Oh, after you're a child, there's those awkward years called adolescence. Adolescence. Yeah, I don't know. It's so awkward. My voice cracked. I started getting hair. Yep, down there. And I started having thoughts about making love, not war. Yep. Adolescence sure was one crazy motherfucking time for me and my friends. Yeah, childhood is a hell of a lot like smoking too much cannabis. I can never remember what I did, right? But judging by the used bowls of yummy sugar cereal strewn about my kitchen, munchies, prepare for liftoff. Rockets, engage. Okay, listen to this. Speaking of munchies, the other day I'm at a bakery, you know, just picking up some breads and sweet treats, nothing big. And I go, "Hey, I want some cupcakes, you know." I go, "I want cupcakes." And the baker goes, "How many do you want?" "What do you want, a half a dozen?" And I go, "Huh? Who says half a dozen, right? Just say six, you dumb bastard." Six cupcakes. None of this half dozen bullcrap. I don't know. I'm telling you, I'm seriously crazy. You guys, do you believe me? You convinced? Okay, I'll tell you. I go into a Burger King. I'll end on this. I go into a Burger King. And I go, "Oh, hello. Do you actually have a king? Do you have a king?" Like, am I crazy for doing this? I walk in there in the fucking Burger King. And I go, "Hey, where's your king?" And the employees laugh till the cows come home. Oh, wait, I can do one more. I can do one more. Please. If we have a minute. If you're ever sad, this is just to end on an uplifting note. If you're ever sad, just imagine how much worse it would be to be a tree that spent years and years growing up only to end up as Nickelback's songwriting notebook. And the lyrics are piss poor.
But, or any notebook, any piece of...
Yeah, any notebook. Thank you, Tim. But yeah, that was...
There could be better notebooks. I got to agree with Jay on that.
Sure, but...
Nickelback's was the punchline.
Got it.
But yeah, no...
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that was actually... More? No, that was the closer.
Oh, I apologize. I stamped all over the closing.
So. No, I liked your tag. But seriously, thank you guys so much for having
hey,
me.
Hey, let's hear it for Jay Weingarten. Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah. Hey, Jay, what are you doing now?
Nothing, really.
Come on over the couch and hang
great.
With us for a little bit. That'd
thank
be awesome
you.
If we could welcome Jay over the couch. And he's going to sit in for the second half of the show. That's
he got
be
walked
great.
Over to the couch. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
He killed,
yeah, absolutely. Good new stuff. It's all new stuff, huh? Mm-hmm.
Brand new.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Great new material from Jay Weingarten here live in the studio. We're going to chat some more. We're going to take more Zooms, more calls. We're going to talk about this controversy over there at the Jeopardy program. Have you been following this with the Jeopardy? It's like they can't find a host. Now they find a host, and he's a nightmare. We're going to talk about the new Facebook... VR experience that just launched today. Very exciting. And that's going to be a whole new hour of one more hour of show coming your way. Of course, if you're watching live, you're going to keep watching. If you're watching us on the playback, this is where the show ends if you're not a patron. So join patreon.com/officehourslive. Many of you did, but we want many more. We want the show to be more popular than even the James Corden program on CBS. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Enjoy this music. Brought to you by DJ Doug Pound. Hey, everybody. It's Tim Heidecker here. Are you enjoying Office Hours Live? Do you want to hear more? Well, there's a whole extra hour that's for patrons only. Just go to patreon.com/officehourslive, and there you can sign up for... as low as $5 a month. There's an annual pass that I highly recommend. Not only will you get an extra hour of Office Hours, you'll get so much more. Original series like The Compound, The Joel Hole, my extensive deep dive into the Beatles catalog, Please, Please Let It Be. So much. My Saturday morning blog. Often I'll throw up my food that morning, but as well as little unreleased things that haven't come out yet, personal details, my medical history. You'll have access to everything you've ever wanted if you just go to patreon.com/officehourslive.
The pounding.
It is the fuel that runs Office Hours.
The pounding. The pounding.